guys. My name's Emma, and today I'm preaching on the turnaround. So why don't you tune in? I hope that it blesses you today. Come on, so we're going to turn straight to Scripture, straight to the Word of God. Who loves the Word of God? It's not just a book written in the olden days. It's alive and moving, and it's relevant to our here and now. So come on, would you turn with me to Mark chapter 8, verses 13 to 21? Come on. So just to give context, I'm just going to go straight in. Is that all right? No warm up here. Just to give context to where we're about to pick up in Scripture is that we're reading about Jesus, and he's been ministering from towns and countrysides. He's been traveling around with his disciples. He's been performing incredible miracles. He's healed so many people. He's healed the deaf and the mute. He's raised people from the dead. And the disciples have been with him the entire time. They've walked with him. They've seen him perform these miracles. And we pick it up right here in verse 13. It says, so he got back into the boat talking about Jesus, and he crossed to the other side of the lake. But the disciples had forgotten to bring any food. They had only one loaf of bread with them in the boat. And as they were crossing the lake, Jesus warned them, watch out, beware of the yeast of Pharisees and of Herod. And they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, and so he said to them, why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all? When I fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterward? 12, they said. And when I fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up? 7, they said. Don't you understand yet? He asked them. See, here the disciples, they find themselves in this predicament. They've made a mistake. They've been a little bit careless, and they've forgotten to take food along with them on the journey. And commentary actually tells us that it wasn't just for them and the journey, but forgetting to bring provision actually meant for their families on the other side. And so what happens is they find themselves in this predicament, and what do? Is they turn to one another. They begin to argue, the Scripture tells us. We can only imagine what they're saying to one another. You know, it was your fault. You had one job. What are we going to do now? They're feeling worried, maybe anxious. They're in a position of lack. They're needing their situation to turn around. It tells us earlier in Mark, when Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth, they don't recognize Jesus for who he is. And Jesus actually says that he is amazed at their unbelief. And I can imagine Jesus in this scenario again, looking at the disciples and being completely amazed at their unbelief. He's here in the boat with them. He's been there the whole time. And he just says, come on, don't you understand yet? Don't you know who I am? Can't you recognize me? I'm the one that fed the 5,000. I'm the one that fed the 4,000. Don't you think that I could multiply your one loaf? Don't you understand who I am? He says, come on, don't you know me? I can help you. I can fix this. I can sort this out for you. I can change this situation around for you. And God began to reveal to me something in this Scripture. He began to show me that the disciples, that they had two options, really. When they found themselves in this circumstance, in this predicament, in this position of lack, they had two responses that they could have made. First, they could have turned to the natural, their way of providing, their capacity to sort it out. Or they could have turned to the supernatural, the Jesus that was in their boat, the miracle working one, the God of the abundance, the God of the turnaround, the God that they've been walking with and ministering with. They could have turned to him. He was willing. He was was able, yet what was the disciples' default response? Is they turned to each other and they began to argue. They wanted to figure it out by themselves. Are you kidding me? They had Jesus with them. Why are they trying to figure it out? And I think it's easy for me, and maybe you're thinking the same thing, but looking in, I'm thinking, guys, you're crazy. But if we're to be really honest, if I'm to be really honest, sometimes this can be me. Bible tells us that He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's in the boat with us every day of our life. He's walking with us. Yet when we find ourselves in times of trouble and need and lack, where are we turning? Are we turning to the natural? Are we turning to our ability to cope? Are we turning to the relationships to fulfill us, our job to provide for us? Or are we turning to the supernatural one who's been with us the whole time, who never leave us or forsake us, who's all powerful, whose strength is enough for us, whose grace is sufficient for us? I want to ask you tonight, where are you turning? Where are you turning? Because today Jesus is saying to you and I, graciously and lovingly, He's saying, my son, my daughter, don't you understand? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know my power? Don't you know my goodness? Don't you know my grace? Don't you know my love? Don't you know my strength? Don't you know my peace, my restoration, my rest that's available to you? My child, don't you know who I am? And you know what? I'm also a primary school teacher. Yay, I teach grade 4 students. They're very cute. But I picture Jesus kind of being like a teacher in this position. You know, when I'm teaching my students, I'll always ask them questions. You know, I teach them a new strategy or a new concept, and I'll always ask them, hey, do you understand? Do you get it? Is there anything that I can help you with? And it's not out of a position that I'm angry that they don't get it, or I'm looking down on them for not understanding. What I'm doing as their teacher is I want to put them in a position to truly understand it. I want to put them in a position where they really get it and they're able to go back to their desks and they're able to run with it and succeed and achieve with what I put before them. And it's the same. Jesus tonight is asking you this question. Do you understand? But it's not in a condemning way. It's not in a way that He's angry with you, but it's in a way where He wants to position you in a place where you're truly going to understand it. You're truly going to get a revelation of who He is, because He loves you and He wants to position you in this place to understand, to get it. Because He wants you to get it and be able to run with it and succeed in everything that He has for you in your life tonight. So know that the Father's heart for you is that He loves you and He wants to reveal Himself for you. He wants you to understand Him. So come on, would you open up your heart tonight to get that greater revelation of who He is? See, we're promised in Scripture, not the greatest promise, but we're promised that life isn't always going to be easy. It tells us in John that you will have many trials and sorrows. Not the greatest promise to get, but it gets better, because He says, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So things are going to get hard. That's life. But if we're going to decide just to ride this roller coaster of life with the ups and downs, or we can decide to stand on the sure foundation of who our God is, and when times get hard, when opposition comes our way, when we find ourselves in lack, when we're needing a situation to turn around, we can stand on that sure foundation that I know who my God is. He's already won the victory. So come on, position yourself. Tonight I'm going to unpack 4 things that I believe Jesus draws the disciples' attention to right out from Scripture. I want you to know right from the beginning, this isn't ideas that I've concocted or I think are good ideas. This is what the Word of God says. It's straight from Scripture. And I believe just as Jesus was prompting the disciples, He's prompting us tonight too. So from verse 17, the first point I want to make, He says to the disciples, are your hearts too hard to take it in? I want to ask you, what's the condition of your heart tonight? See, our hearts are so powerful. Proverbs 4 verses 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. See, why couldn't the disciples understand? Jesus was right in front of them, performing miracles. They'd been with Him the whole way. Why? Their hearts were hard. Because if our heart is wounded, if we've allowed hurt or disappointment or discouragement or offense to creep in there, to take residency in our heart, what happens is that the way that we see God and understand God begins to be skewed by the things that we've allowed to take residency in our heart. And so what we always constantly need to be doing, this isn't something that we do once when we got saved. This is a daily thing that we constantly need to be checking the condition of our heart. Say, God, what's going on the inside of here? And God, I need to release that hurt. I need to hand over that pain, that heavy burden that I'm carrying. We need to constantly be checking the condition of our heart and making sure that we're not allowing the things of this world to harden our hearts, but we're constantly allowing our hearts to be soft to the things of God so that we're truly able to understand who He is. Is that all right? Can you do that for me? Yes, awesome. The second thing is from verse 18, He says, you have eyes, can't you see? You have eyes, can't you see? Tonight, I want to ask you another question. What are you seeing? Are you seeing the things going on right in front of you, the situations and the circumstances that are facing you? Or are you seeing with eyes of faith today? Because Colossians 3 verses 1 to 2 says, if you are serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground. Absorb with the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what is going on around Christ. That is where the action is. See things from His perspective. So don't just see what's going on around you. Come on, lift your eyes, church. See things from His perspective, because it tells us that He works everything together for His good. So it might not be good what's right in front of you, but come on, lift your eyes. See what He's doing. See things from His perspective. Lift your eyes tonight. Or 2 Corinthians, it says in chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, it says, we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration that He's prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today and gone tomorrow. But the things that we can't see now, they're gonna last forever. So come on, lift your eyes. See things through His perspective. The things that are right in front of you, they're not going to last, but He is for eternity. So come on, set your eyes on Him. Lift your perspective, because that's where we're going to truly understand who He is and what He's doing in our lives. Amen. Amen. My third thing, still in verse 18, He says, you have ears, can't you hear? You've got ears. Can't you hear tonight? Another question. What are you hearing? Are you hearing the word of God for your life? Are you hearing the promises that He's made for you? Promises that He said about you? Are you hearing the word of God over your life? Or have you been listening to the voice of this world? See, Romans chapter 10, verses 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. If you've allowed unbelief or doubt to creep into your heart, maybe you've been listening to the voice of this world, but God is prompting you tonight to hear His word that He's spoken over you, the promises that He's declared over your life, because it's going to build your faith. It's going to build your understanding of who He is. We should be so consumed by the word of God. We should be totally saturated by the word of God. More consumed than the word of God than anything else in this world. More consumed with the word of God than social media. More consumed with the word of God than our textbooks, not text messages. We should be totally consumed by His word, because that's where we're going to build our faith for who He is and what He's doing in our life. We need to get the word of God in us so much that no matter what comes, no matter what they think, no matter what someone says, no matter what life throws at me, I will be able to stand anchored to the word of God, and I will not change because of what this world throws at me, but the situations and the circumstances in my life have to change because of what I know about my God. So consume yourself in His word. Consume yourself in His word, because it's going to build your faith. How? Because when you read about how he's performed miracles, when you read about how His strength is enough for you, when you read about His grace is sufficient for you, when you read about how He's your Jehovah Jireh, your provider, when you read about that He's your Prince of Peace, when you read about that He's your joy, when you read about Him, it begins to build your faith. You begin to understand Him. Oh, that's who you are, God. I can see You in my life now. So come on, consume yourself in His word. Hear the word of God over your life. Don't listen to those voices of doubt. Don't listen to the voice of fear. Don't listen to the voice of insecurity, of inadequacy. Don't allow those voices, don't come into agreement with that. Come into agreement with the word of God over your life. Because He loves you. He loves you. He's got a great plan and a great purpose in mind for you. Come on, faith will begin to build as you begin to hear the word of God. And my last point tonight, still in verse 18, he says, don't you remember anything at all? Don't you remember anything at all? See, the disciples had walked with Jesus the entire time. They'd seen Him performing these miracles. They'd seen Him moving in mighty ways. He taught them. He loved them. He showed grace towards them. And He says, come on, don't you remember anything at all? Tonight, what is your mind remembering? What's been replaying over and over in your mind? Because God is saying to you and I tonight, hey, look back. Look at what I've done in your life. Look at how I've always been there for you. Look at how I provided for you then. Guess what? That means I'm going to provide for you now. Look at how I healed you back then. Guess what? That means I can heal you right now. Look at how I bound up your broken heart. That means I can bind up your broken heart right now. Look at how I gave you peace that surpasses our understanding. That peace is available to you right now, because the Bible tells us that He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if He did it for you back then, He's more than able to do it for you right now. So come on, cast your mind back. See how He's always been there. See how He's always loved you, always protected you, always kept you safe. Come on, remember. Remember, cast your mind back. Allow it to fill you with faith to say, yes, God, You did it for me then, you'll do it for me now. But maybe tonight, maybe you say, Emma, I actually can't ever think of a time where God's been there for me. I have nothing to cast my mind back to. I guarantee you He's always been there. But if you can't do that for your life, can I encourage you to cast your mind back to Scripture? Just like I said before, He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. So the way that He moved in the men and women in through Scripture, it's the same God for you today. So if you cast your mind back to Daniel in the lion's den and God shut the mouth of the lion, He's the same God to you who shut the mouth of the thing that's trying to come up against you. Or would you cast your mind back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they found themselves in the fiery furnace? Come on, He's the same God who protects you in the fiery furnace of life. Or would you come on, would you cast your mind back to the disciples when they found themselves in a crazy storm? The same God that calmed the winds and the waves is the same God that'll calm the storms going on in your life today. He's the same God back then. He'll do it for you now. Come on, cast your mind back. Remember who He is, because He's good. He's always been good. And He'll never change. He'll never change no matter what we do, no matter the mistakes we make. He will never change. And His love for you and His grace for you, it will never, ever change. Side note, in that scripture that I read in the beginning, it was kind of the disciples' mistake. They were careless. They forgot to bring provision. But Jesus doesn't scold them for their mistake. He doesn't say, why didn't you do that? I'm angry at you. He actually says, don't you understand who I am? So tonight, if you feel like you've made too many mistakes for God to love you, you need to know tonight, that's not the Father's heart towards you. His heart towards you is, come on, get to know me. I love you. I'm not mad at you. Come on, would you know who I am? Would you know who I am? The same God that raised Jesus from the dead is the same God that lives inside of you. And I think if we're talking about remembering something that God did, I think the greatest thing that we should always cast our minds to is what God did for us on the cross. Is that we should constantly live in remembrance of the cross. Is that God sent His one and only Son to die on a cross. Why? Because He loved you so much. He took upon Himself all of our sin, shame, and guilt. He won the victory for us. Why? So that we wouldn't just cope. We wouldn't just get by in life. He did it because He wanted us to be in relationship with Him. He wanted us to live a life and life to the full. He wanted us to thrive. And so would we constantly live in remembrance of what He did for us on that cross. Because it means that no matter what comes up against us, no matter what we face in life, that He's already won the victory. And that's what we get to live in. We get to live in the victory that Jesus won for us on the cross. So nothing's ever going to be too hard for you to handle. There's never going to be any ever situation in your life that you can't get through. He's already won the victory. Come on, live in remembrance of what He did for you and I on the cross. And so tonight, you know what? I love this message, if you don't mind me saying. It's God, it's not me, right? Because I love it, because whether you've walked with God your whole life or whether this, you know, journey of faith is brand new to you, it applies to us, because we're never going to fully comprehend, we're never going to be able to fully fathom who our God is. So whether we've walked with Him for 50 years or 2 days, we can constantly live in this position of, yes, Jesus, I want to know you more. Come on, would you show me who you are? Come on, I want to recognize you better for my life. I want to understand who you are more. See, years and years ago, when I decided to make a decision for Jesus and I said goodbye to my old way of living, I said goodbye to relationships and all the junk that I'd been living in, it's because that I knew God was so good that I could give up my entire life just so I could walk with Him. And years later, He's even better than I thought He was. He was good enough to give my entire life to Him. But every single day that I walk with Him, every month, every year, God continues to reveal Himself to me. He continues to reveal His power and His goodness and His glory day in and day out. We can never fully understand Him, but we constantly need to be putting ourselves in a position. Yes, teach me, God. Show me, God. Reveal to me, God. I want to know you better. And so tonight, we're going to enter into ministry time in a moment, but I want to remind you, like I said right at the beginning, the teacher is asking, Jesus is asking us this question, not in a way that's condemning us, but in a way that positions us. And He's saying to you, do you understand? Do you know who I am? Because I want you to know. I'm not trying to hide from you. I want you to know who I am tonight. It's His heart's desire tonight, I believe, to recalibrate our default response in times of trouble, in times of need, in times of weakness and lack, to turn to Him, the supernatural one. That we would no longer turn to the natural, turn to our ability to cope, turn to our ability just to survive and get by, turn to our ability to sort things out. But tonight He wants to recalibrate us to say, come on, turn to me, the supernatural one, the miracle working one, the all powerful one, the one who can do anything, the one who's all things to all men. Turn to me tonight. And I don't know how you walk through those doors. Maybe you walk through those doors and maybe you're going through a situation, maybe similar to the disciples. You're in a situation of lack of need, or maybe you're just needing something to turn around in your life tonight. God is saying, would you turn to me? Because I am willing and I am able tonight. Maybe you've tried to sort things out. Maybe you've sought all the natural things and nothing seems to be working. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. For 12 years, she saw doctors. She saw all the natural things to try and get at what she was after, her healing, her miracle. But it wasn't until she turned to Jesus and all she had to do was to touch the hem of His garment and she was healed. And so tonight, the bands are going to come and we're going to sing, and I want to open up this altar tonight. And if you need to turn to Jesus, maybe you need to recalibrate a little bit. You need to turn back to Him tonight. Or you just want to make a sure decision to say, God, my eyes are on You. God, I'm hearing what You're saying about me. God, I'm remembering what You did for me on that cross. Come on, this altar is open. You can come as a declaration to say, God, I'm turning back to You tonight. I've tried to figure things out on my own. I've tried to sort things out on my own. But I'm turning to You, my provider, my healer, my savior, my redeemer. Come on, would You turn to Him tonight? Would You turn to Him? He's willing and He's able. Come on, would You turn?
For all of my
turn to something. What it means is we're actually turning our back on something, inevitably. You know, you think about it in the natural. When I turn this way, I'm turning my back on you. And so tonight, what I feel like doing is I feel like we should make a little bit of a prophetic act to say, you know what, God, I'm going to turn to you. And what that means is I'm going to turn my back on all the other junk that's been holding me back. I'm going to turn my back on depression. I'm going to turn my back on anxiety. I'm going to turn my back on insecurity. I'm going to turn my back on inadequacy. I'm going to say, see you later to that stuff, because my eyes are on you, Jesus. And so tonight, what I want us to do, if you are able to, is I'm going to count down from three. And what I want us to do, is this okay? I want us to turn around, to physically turn around as a prophetic act to say, God, I'm turning to you. Tuning in. I pray that this has been such a great message for you and that God has revealed himself to you in a whole new way. Have the best week ever.